Hi everyone. As we've been working our way through Matthew's Gospel together, we've been looking at the parables of the kingdom. And this week we're up to the very last of those, the parable of the net, which is in Matthew 13 from verse 47. However, we also find ourselves in the midst of a teaching moment with events that are going on in our world at the moment. Things that have been having a huge social impact over the last couple of weeks or so, ever since the tragic death of George Floyd went viral in a recording on May 25th. And since that time, we've seen peaceful protests happening, we've seen rioting and looting, we've seen the response from authorities to those sorts of events. And we've seen protests not just in the US, but we've seen them spread right around the world, including to here in Australia. And in case you've missed it, those protests aren't just about the tragic death of George Floyd. His death was a trigger for those. But they're actually about much deeper and entrenched issues, issues within the US, but also issues within societies around the world, particularly the issue of systemic and institutional racism. How are we to understand what's going on in cultures around the world at this present time? Many Christians have been wondering about that. We've been tuning into commentary, whether it's on social media, through news media, whether it's in the print or the internet or what's coming across our news broadcasts, whether it's what we're talking about around family dinner table or as we catch up for friends with a coffee. These sorts of issues have been very much on our radar. And I'm hearing lots of questions from people about how should we respond. I'm also seeing lots of arguments about different points of views that Christians are, I guess, struggling with the tension with in terms of how should we respond as Christians to these events. And so we're going to examine that from a biblical point of view as we continue our journey through Matthew 13 and ask ourselves, well, how does that speak into this cultural moment that we're a part of? One of the most poignant scenes that we've seen occurred on Monday when the protests that were happening outside the White House were dispersed so that the president could walk down the street to a church which had been damaged by fire the previous night. And there was a photo opportunity that took place, and as you can imagine, the internet and news media has been abuzz with opinions about this event. But what would it be like for us to take that book that Mr. Trump is holding and to open it up and just to see what it says to us about the times that we find ourselves in? How will it guide us to be the people of the kingdom of heaven in the midst of a world that is in crisis? How will it help us to be like the parables of the kingdom talked about, like a mustard seed or that little bit of yeast, which even though it might be small, makes a massive difference in the world and makes things better for everybody? How can we be the kingdom of heaven in the midst of a world that is in chaos? Today I'd like to give some simple principles from God's word that will help us to do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read these very confronting words. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And in our current cultural climate, really easy to do that. There are so many different points of view on what's been happening in recent times, and it's easy for us to gravitate toward the ones which most fit our ideas of what is going on in the world and which require the least of us in terms of being required to listen and to change our attitudes or our behaviours. But we want to do what Paul encourages Timothy to do here, to preach the word and to hear the word. How does God speak to us in the midst of this moment? As I've been tuning into the conversation that's been going on around the place, I've seen Christians post information, for example, on understanding systemic racism. But then other Christians have posted information that kind of indicates that that's not really the issue. There are other problems like fatherlessness and other issues which are more at play, more to blame for the situation that we find ourselves in. How do we tune out of all that? How do we avoid the temptation to be very selective in who we listen to and who we are loyal to, and instead come to God's word with open hearts and invite it to speak to us in this moment? One pastor in the US spoke about it like this. The culture wars are the cultures, not the local church's battle. For the church to be captured and exclusively identified with either side is to lose the gospel. Christians who angrily denounce or vilify others in the name of defending our constitutional rights or law and order or justice have forgotten who they are. In Christ, we are those who lay down our rights to serve our enemies and who understand that we are first and foremost citizens of a kingdom that is not of this world. Our job as citizens of the kingdom of heaven is not to judge the world, to not diagnose all that's going on and to attribute blame to any particular party. This world has a judge, his name is Jesus, and a time is coming when he will judge the world. But in the meantime, we are the people who Jesus came to save. We are the ones who have experienced new life in him, a taste of the goodness of his kingdom, which will last forever. We get to be the ambassadors of that kingdom in this world. We get to be the people who explain how creation was perfect in the beginning. God made it good for us, but we fell from grace. We allowed sin to enter our world, and that sin has destroyed so much. It's set the tone for how whole nations operate. It has corrupted every aspect of human experience. Our experience of the natural world, our experience of relationships with one another, and our connection to God who created us. All has been affected by sin. This world is broken. And rather than getting caught up in the arguments about who's to blame for what particular consequence people are struggling with, our job is to lament, to grieve with people who are struggling under the weight of sin. And to be able to say to people in that condition, we don't have to stay stuck in our sin. There is a better future for us than our present experience. There is hope in the midst of the hurting world. That hope bears a name. It's the person of Jesus Christ. There is a new community that we can be a part of which doesn't repeat the same storylines of human history. That community is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven changes everything about how we participate in the world and how we respond to the circumstances that the world finds itself in. And it's the preaching of the gospel, this story of what God has done for us in Christ, that enables us, that equips us, that informs us about how we can then engage in a world that is hurting, that is laboring under the load of sin. Let me give you just one example of what this kind of thing has looked like in the life of one particular person this week. This is a statement that was released by George W. Bush. Brendan shared it with me, and I thought it was worth sharing with you. This is what he wrote. We can only see the reality of America's need by seeing it through the eyes of the threatened, oppressed, and disenfranchised. That is exactly where we now stand. Many doubt the justice of our country, and with good reason. Black people see the repeated violation of their rights without an urgent and adequate response from American institutions. And we know that lasting justice will only come by peaceful means. Looting is not liberation, and destruction is not progress. But we also know that lasting peace in our communities requires truly equal justice. The rule of law ultimately depends on the fairness and legitimacy of the legal system. And achieving justice for all is the duty of all. This will require a consistent, courageous, and creative effort. We serve our neighbours best when we try to understand their experience. We love our neighbours as ourselves when we treat them as equals in both protection and compassion. There is a better way, the way of empathy and shared commitment and bold action and a peace rooted in justice. I am confident that together Americans will choose the better way. I'm going to place some Bible passages on the website that speak about the themes that have been expressed in this statement from Mr. Bush. And whenever we gather as Christians, we want to come under the preaching of God's word so that when we engage in the world, whether it's in the example that we set or in the words that we speak or the words that we write, we want to do that in a biblically consistent way. Because it's the Bible that will correct attitudes and understandings that are misleading, that are wrong. It's the Bible that has the power to rebuke behaviors that are harmful. It's the Bible which will encourage every good thing so that we may devote ourselves to doing those things more. And when we come under the authority of the Bible, we become people who are able to have a life-giving, Christ-exalting, salvation-declaring impact on the world. But what about me? How am I called to do that? I'm not in America and I have no real influence on anyone who is in America, so I'm not really a part of what is playing out in that situation. But yet my world is full of stuff that requires me to be a kingdom influence as well. What is it like for me to live out of the truth of God's word, the principles of the kingdom of heaven, in the midst of my broken and hurting world? Now, I've heard this week from a number of Indigenous Australians who have related to me their experiences of systemic racism. I don't know if you realise, but last week was Reconciliation Week here in Australia. I wonder if you were aware of that fact, and I wonder if you did anything to gain an understanding of what the issues are for Indigenous Australians in contemporary Australia. One person spoke to me about what it's like for her children to be followed around inside a shop by a security guard because of the colour of their skin and the expectation that these kids are likely to try and steal something. And you could point to statistics and probabilities to explain the behaviour of that guard. But we want to go a bit deeper than that. What's the effect of that on those children? And what does it require of us to know that that sort of thing goes on? How do we help and how do we bring healing to people who experience that? How do we love our neighbour as ourselves? Another person shared about what it feels like every day to be on the bus, which gets more and more crowded as it goes along, and every seat is taken except the seat next to her. Day after day, it's the same. And so she knows that if there's a seat next to somebody else, that she should probably not sit in it because they probably don't want to sit next to her. Her experience of riding the bus tells her that she's different and she's not somebody that others want to be close to. What does that do to a person? And of course, because it's so hurtful to be rejected because of who you are, there are many who would just act out because at least then they're in charge of the way people are seeing them and treating them. What does a follower of Jesus do, knowing that these kinds of things are the experience of people that God loves and that we love too? What does a follower of Jesus do, knowing that this sort of thing is the normal experience of many people? How do they show that the kingdom of heaven is for everyone? The kingdom of heaven is a community in which every single person, regardless of race, gender, background, financial condition, whatever it might be, is equally valued and equally belongs. The current crisis in the US that has spread around the world has highlighted the issue of institutional favoritism based on race. And as we allow the Word of God to speak to us about our own attitudes and actions, the Holy Spirit brings within us a sensitivity to how it applies in other areas of life as well. As it says in this passage in James, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. And what's going on in this particular passage isn't to do with showing favouritism based on race, but by social status, by economic status. And there are many other reasons by which we treat some people better than others. We are more loyal to some people than to others. We find some people more desirable to be around than others. For example, how many of you are teachers? Quite a few. How do you go in your classroom loving all of those children equally, showing no favoritism, but loving each of those children as a neighbour, loving them as yourself? It's not always easy, is it? How do you go in your workplace? How do you go in your family home? How do you go in your sporting team and in all the places that you interact with people? And what does the current situation in the world teach us about how people respond when over time they are consistently treated as less than others? What are the impacts on their sense of self? What are the impacts on their attitude toward the world? What are the impacts upon their behavior? Many of us love our neighbors selectively in whatever context we find ourselves. Perhaps this current crisis can show us what that does to people. Perhaps it can challenge us about our treatment of others, whether it's based on race or any other issue. As we saw in the parable of the yeast, when we have been brought into a right relationship with God, when we've been made a part of His kingdom, when we've been brought into a right relationship with others, we want to live by different rules, rules like this one found in James. And when we do that, that leads to results that are good for everyone. Let's not waste our opportunity to be the kingdom of heaven in the midst of a world in crisis. Let's not give in to the temptation to turn aside to those who tell us what we want to hear, those who say, no, it's not our fault, it's other people's fault, and those who want us to focus on the sins of others rather than our own sins. But rather, with soft hearts, let's turn to the Word of God. Let's hear it encourage the things that are good and continue to devote ourselves to doing those things. Let's hear it correct our faulty understandings and our wrong attitudes. Let's hear it rebuke our behaviours that damage others instead of helping them. And as we allow the Word of God to do the work of God inside us, may we then be citizens of heaven on display in the world, ambassadors of Christ to those who desperately need to experience His salvation, who need to be freed from bondage to sin, who need to know that the struggle of this life is not all there is. There is a glorious future for all those who will receive it from Him, a future without racism, a future without any of the things that have been causing so much misery and so much angst, particularly over these last couple of weeks. God bless you.